Hello and thank you for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. This episode is a commentary episode. So for season 6, episode 15, I Have a Dream, we are literally watching the episode while we're talking through it. So there's a couple more pauses, there's ums and there's ahs. There are moments that we get off topic of NYPD Blue, so it's a lot less structured than the other ones, which weren't that structured to begin with. So I hope you enjoy it. With that comes different sound issues. We're literally holding the mics with our hands. So sometimes, mostly Kyle, forgets to put it up to his mouth while he's talking. At one point, he started chewing on a straw, because of course, that's how Kyle operates. And, you know, we have moments where we're not talking about NYPD Blue at all. I hope you still enjoy it. I hope there's stuff in it you like. And I hope that we can keep you around for the next episode, because it's just like it. So I hope you enjoy Season 6, Episode 15, I Have a Dream. And without further ado, Kyle actually starts this one. So Kyle, take it away.
All right, here we go, guys. Welcome. Season 6, Episode 15, I Have a Dream. I Have a Dream. No puns in there. Just straight stolen from Dr. MLK. I Have a Dream. As we watch, Sipowicz is rolling around in bed, and we don't see Sylvia.
Yeah, I just realized, as you said, that there is no Sylvia.
They don't show Sylvia through a lot of these episodes.
There is. That's weird, because they are married.
They talk about her a lot.
But she is not in the show. Well, did you... I gotta ask this, because right now we're watching A Dream with Sipowicz's dad. And it's just Dennis Franz without a mustache?
Yeah. Does he have a prosthetic?
I think there has to be episodes where he has a fake mustache then, right?
No.
There has to be, because what, they waited till the end of the season to film this? Like, after they've wrapped everything else?
That, or he can grow a mustache pretty quick, whereas, like, we can't.
No, I can't grow a mustache. I have no mustache.
Like, what, when Dad would shave his mustache, his would go back in, like, 6-7 days? Like,
I thought you were going to say 6-7 hours, and I'd be like, okay, well, I don't think it was that fast.
No, some dudes, like, shave in the morning, they have a 5 o'clock shadow of their hair's already starting to grow. Some dudes' hair grow fast, like, maybe he just was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, maybe.
No, he's not wearing prosthetics. I always thought his, like, cheeks or something, they did something to make him look, like, older or different than his dad.
You meant prosthetics to make his dad look different.
Yeah.
I think, and I may be wrong, I think that they darkened a little bit of his hair. A little bit. And I think...
they gave him more hair for sure.
This is him dropping the N-word a couple times.
Like, they actually gave him hair. Like, he doesn't look like he has a bald spot, and his widow's peak comes up a lot higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy's more balder all the way down the back. So they do make things a little bit different, but, like, yeah, I don't get the whole point of this. Like, do you get the whole point of the dream, even at the end?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you can explain it to me at the end.
I mean, what, I don't know, because I don't know if it's even going to make sense, what I say.
So he has this dream, and the dream is basically a flashback to when he was younger, and it what's the word? It compartmentalizes, like, a big story that happened in his life. That I think led to him being racist.
Yeah.
But the story is done very quickly, where it's his dad comes home and has got fired from his job and is drunk.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out to finish his job, quote unquote, at night. Does it. Kicks in somebody's door to read their meter. Happens to be a black family. They protect themselves. Hit him with a hammer. Fuck up his eye. From there, that's, like, the birth of, like...
racist Andy Sipowicz.
Yeah, But they keeps including Dornan
Yeah. He's saying that your buddy Dornan did this to me.
Yeah.
That's
I don't get
the
that
dream.
Part.
Well, I think what it is... it's supposed to be Andy dealing with his own guilt because he believes he got Dornan fired.
Just a gleaming shot of the two towers.
Yeah, that happens in this episode. Just a big old two towers spot. Pretty center stage. Oh, yeah, we get the return of Baker.
Is Baker a Dylan?
Kevin Dillon.
He's a Dillon, yeah. He's got that Dillon nose.
He's one of them Dillons.
Yeah. Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon's brother, probably.
He's a famous face from the television show Entourage.
He's not in Entourage. His brother's in Entourage.
Are you sure?
I think Matt Dillon's in Entourage.
I thought he was in Entourage.
No, you're right. Matt Dillon's the more successful one that's in, like, movies and shit. You're right. I take that back. Fuck Entourage.
But Entourage, I guess, because we were told that we missed something because we have never seen Entourage. Mm-hmm. I guess in Entourage they made a comment about someone saying, oh, I was on the Blue. And they're like, NYPD Blue. And it was, like, a different show that had Blue in the title. And then they were disappointed. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, but we haven't seen Entourage because we're...
Entourage, I feel like, is just, like... Bros being bros being bros, and I don't need to watch that.
Bros being bros.
It's like
bros.
That fucking TV show Ballers. Like, it's just like male testosterone for like an hour. I'm good.
This the big story about this is Baker, who has already been under the microscope for shooting at the wrong person, who happened to be Szymanski, who then shot at some other people.
Uh-huh.
He was on foot patrol, and he put down a drug dealer in the street, and they can't find that drug dealer's gun or the drugs that were on him.
But he swears there was everything.
There was a gun. He swears the guy had everything.
Guy had everything.
He had the Zapruder film. He had
the
all
what film?
The Zapruder? I don't know how to say
Zapruder?
It. Zapruder?
Zapruder. I think it's the Zapruder.
Zapruder?
Yeah, not Zapruder.
All I know is...
We'll ask our father when he gets home.
That was
his era.
Look, all we definitely know is JFK isn't dead. He's coming back at some point.
So it's JFK Jr., dude. Coming back to free Donald Trump and help him win the election.
But we have JB, recurring character now, a CI for Mr. Danny Sorensen. And Sipowicz picked him up now instead of Danny. I guess just to give some...
Yeah, you don't want it to make it look like anytime Danny's around.
Suddenly
JB's getting picked up, because then it just looks like JB and Danny are working something.
Yeah.
Gotta spread it out. They run a few games in this episode, though.
It's also awkward that the second they get into the house, Baker's like, man, you're making a career out of fixing my messes. Ha!
That's like 90% of the NYPD, dude.
NYPD.
Just them fixing each other's fuck-ups.
And they just go over the fact that it looks bad that he shot a dude and they can't find the gun. Yeah. Quick question. Are you wearing just your underwear, and are you pulling them up to thong levels currently?
No, I'm just sitting here.
Okay.
And they're falling down. Okay. You thought you were only getting one show.
And... This is the other point of this episode that I wanted to say out loud. It seems like Danny is more pissed off that this guy isn't confidently saying, no, I shot a guy. Like, because the dude has a conscience about shooting the guy, it's like, well, it looks like you did something wrong.
Yeah.
When it's like, okay, well, I did kill a man today.
Martin's sighting.
Martens. Gotta love Martens. My favorite reoccurring character. I love Martens.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And he's there to talk to Baker. Because it's a cop shooting. Someone's dead. He's got to get all the deets.
Yeah, they got to get it on paper real quick. I'm going to go talk to JB.
Yes.
But JB was telling Andy he wanted some reassurances before he gives out any information. So we left off on, they keep promising JB fucking studio time.
Doo-wop time.
Okay.
Like,
doo-wop time.
Okay, I don't... 86. It's 99. What? 13?
Oh, you're talking about you.
You're 10.
Yeah.
Was doo-wop still a big thing in the 90s?
We were listening to all kinds of doo-wop. It hadn't... Well, Kyle, new metal hasn't taken over our souls yet.
What would have been better is if this character was black and he was trying to get him time to do R&B or something. Do you already know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if this guy was like a singer-songwriter, he was just addicted to heroin or something.
Yeah, and he was... It is very weird but that it was doo-wop. Doo-wop. Very weird that it's doo-wop. It's also very weird that you find out at the end of this episode, he's never even heard the fucker sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's never even heard him sing.
Yeah.
You also find out, like, oh, well, he's a scam artist. Like, he hides his methadone to sell it to get real meth. He's running scams all over the city. But he comes in and does some nice shit for me every once in a while. And it's like, what, dude? Like, so it's not, you're not actually helping him.
No, he's not. But then, but I mean, like, it's foreshadowing, though.
Yeah.
Their relationship.
Yeah.
Their relationship is kind of oddly shitty.
Because, right, JB is giving him that what kids do is they call on drug dealers so that, or they call the police on drug dealers so the dealers will drop their drugs and run away, and then they go and pick up the drugs for free.
Yeah.
He's saying that's what happened on this shooting. It then cuts to Baker Martens, the fight of the century, where Martens, you know, goes super hard asking questions like, what happened? And do you think it could have been solved any other way? Yeah. Which is apparently too hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Baker gets real, like, I don't know if Baker gets annoyed, but his butthole gets real tight when he realizes that Danny was watching.
Oh, you mean after Danny comes into this thing?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
After Martens and them are done talking and Baker's done shitting himself, mm-hmm. As soon as Danny walks in, he gets real nervous and is like, you're watching the whole time?
He also, like, we're in such a, it's so weird that we're doing this podcast now. And by now, I mean for the last 5 years. But we got to this point where there's so much attention paid to officer-involved shootings, right? In this situation...
Shh.
No.
Buddy.
In this situation, he's telling a story where he comes up to... He's alone. He doesn't have a partner. Comes up on a situation where a drug dealer is literally staring him down and reaches into his waistband. And he's like, I see the butt of a gun. I tell him to freeze again. He doesn't. I start shooting at him and kill him. What he has reservations about, I think, based on his action, the way he's acting, is I just killed a guy. Like, it's not something that's supposed to be normal. Killing another human being is not normal, right? But
I don't know. As far as I know, I've never killed anybody.
Knock on wood. But the idea being, one guy who's trying to figure it out is like, huh, he doesn't have the temperament. He's super weird about killing a guy. And the other guy being Sorensen is like, why don't you have some confidence? You just murdered a guy. So what? Like, what are you thinking about?
It's like Sorensen doesn't want him to have empathy.
Kinda.
For the people he's, like, shooting at. He doesn't want people to, like, he just wants you to be like you were saying earlier, like, yeah, I shot him. Yeah. And?
Because, I mean, the whole point, because this is the second shooting this dude's involved with, right? And Sipowicz says a line that I think should have been the title of the episode. Because they went with the racism thing, which makes sense because it's more important in terms of Sipowicz's character. So stoked that backing up is happening now. Very happy for whatever reason that's happening.
You know what car that is?
Huh.
I think it's an Amazon delivery. Thanks, Bezos.
Thank you, Bezos.
Just take me to the moon, bro. Or Mars.
But... it's clear that...
Side note, do we have a plan that if he gets in one of these rockets that's trying to reach Mars and it blows up, like, what happens to Amazon? Because we know some weird shit like that's going to happen. You know he's not making it to Mars.
You know he's not making it to Mars.
And Elon Musk is too pussy to get in his own rocket, so we can't hope for him to die that way.
It's not that I'm not listening to you. I just realized I have a ton of famous faces in this episode. I don't think I've seen any of them yet.
No, I mean, Kevin Dillon, pretty famous. Entourage was like the hit show for a couple years, and he was part of that group. Who's Vince Catelli's back?
Oh, Vince Catelli, played by Carmine Cardini. He was in The Godfather Part 1 and 2 and The Money Pit.
And he's in Taxi.
And he's in Taxi.
Me and Dad were just watching an episode the other night, and he pointed it out.
I mentioned a Jack Cahill, but I don't know who that is.
I think that's the guy that's a part of this one right here. He's the white guy who lives below the mobster. You know,
no, that's the mobster is Jack Cahill.
The mobster is Jack Cahill, or the dumb Polak guy who lives below him that he keeps calling himself.
God damn it, it's gonna drive me insane. Now I have no idea, because Johnny Williams is the guy that plays the mobbed up dude. Sam Jones, no, Dave Florek.
Dave Florek is. The guy who is like the character actor guy that you is in a lot of TV shows and a lot of movies, yeah.
Because also both the guys that they interview for Sipowicz and Sorensen's things, the black kids. The first black kid is Ty Hodges, who was on Even Stevens and was on the Disney Channel original movie Don't Look Under the Bed, which is basically fucking nightmare fuel. If you haven't seen it recently, that shit's fucked up. I don't know who greenlit that one. And Johnny Williams? No.
But Jack Cahill?
Jack Cahill is the question. He was on The Blues Brothers, ER, and The Shadow, starring Alec Baldwin.
How do you spell his name?
Jack Cahill or Jeff Cahill?
Oh, Jesus. Jeff Cahill. Anyways, Catelli's in here. He's got a problem with some insurance thing he's working with. It's this old mob guy with mob ties whose car keeps getting beat up, but he won't press any charges. He won't press any charges, and Vince is just like, well, I need some help with this. Maybe try to get the guy to file a complaint, and we can get it to stop, blah, blah, blah. And he's just there being annoying, talking to Jill and Diane.
Quick question, because I got you here. Did you just scratch your balls, ball on hand contact with your right hand?
Oh, no, I scratched the side of my leg, like right here, yeah.
Okay, dangerously close to your balls. Okay, cool. Just because you're manhandling that microphone with both hands constantly.
Well, you said this is my microphone.
No, it's not your mic. None of this is yours.
Not everybody's supposed to be a cop.
That was the line that I feel like should have been the title of the episode.
Yeah.
Not everybody's supposed to be a cop.
But then that would be admitting that not every cop is good, Kurt.
True. And then there's this moment where Sipowicz, like, basically... He tells John to leave so he could talk to Danny.
Which, if I was John, I'd be like, this is my desk. Go to the coffee room, fuck faces. Like, you two can go to the coffee room and talk.
Also, this is where Sipowicz met.
This is where Sipowicz starts talking about
his dream
with Dornan. And Sorensen tells him to go talk to him.
Dornan. Is that the right move? I don't know. But in this...
And then there's a very interesting conversation within this where Danny goes... Danny says, like, a black guy when Sipowicz is talking about
his
dad losing his eye. And he goes, a black guy. And he goes, hey, we don't use words like that. And then he makes the thing where he puts the thing over his face... His hand over his face, like face waterfall from Face Off. And he says, we do that instead.
Yeah, that was very weird. You can't say black guy, but you can do that hand thing. Mm-hmm. Which, once again, I didn't know was a thing until I rewatched the show.
Yeah. And then JB calls and tells them they got something.
They got the dude who called for the drop on the drugs.
To get the cops to show up.
Them drug drops. But I was going to say something about the dream. Oh, yeah, because at some point I'm...
Hakeem Olajuwon, the basketball player?
At some point, I'm going to try to explain. Did you notice something about this scene before we got talk about that? Did you know anything weird about this scene that I noticed immediately when I watched it the first time?
This scene?
Yeah, where John comes into Fancy to tell him that he feels like he's doing a good job and working with the squad well.
Is it that he has his lunch in a brown bag?
No.
What?
Fancy doesn't say anything. He doesn't say a single word. John comes in and says, I feel like I'm doing a good job and I'm relating to everybody. Fancy doesn't say anything. He just gives facial expressions.
Oh, wow.
I the first time I watched it, it's like, did he say anything? And then when I watched it again, I was like, did he have like a line?
Maybe like, he had a line cut. Maybe like, we're not watching a full version or something.
Or did he like, because he only makes faces. He doesn't say anything. It's so weird.
Yeah, that is very weird.
Was it like, oh, we actually started to look at your contract. You're over your line limit. So for this scene, you can't say anything.
Wow, that's really interesting.
It's so weird. Then this is Ty Hodges.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Even Stevens and Don't Look Under the Bed. Which, hey, everybody who's got that Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Let us know on Twitter and Instagram, what dumb shit are you watching? I'm rewatching Meet the Deedles.
What was Meet the Deedles?
Meet the Deedles was powerhouse actors. Wow, how did I lose his name? Paul Walker at age 17, it seems. And a gentleman playing his twin brother, Steve Van Warmer of Johnny Tsunami and Jingle All the Way fame.
Jeff Cahill's JB.
Oh, that's okay. That makes sense. He's on ER, Blues Brothers, and The Shadow.
He was also in Deadwood.
He was?
Yeah, he's in it for like two episodes. He's like maybe one episode. It's a really funny when I. It's like season two, random, really random. Like a lot of these people that
show up
that Bochco Milch used during NYPD Blue. A lot of those guys just randomly show up for like pockets of like one episode, and then they're either like killed or they never come back to the camp. But he's kind of the same person.
Same person, just
he's
old
just
West.
Kind of like a drifter dude who like is like a quick talker and then like kind of gets fucked. Like, but he's good in it. Metavoice shows up in Deadwood. Like in season three, like near the end. And I think he was going to have a bigger role if Deadwood kept going, but it ended up ending. Yeah, he shows up randomly in the end.
Yeah, the only thing about that interview was the guy was like, what does that say about my respect if I just tell you who did this?
Yeah, they don't give a shit. Like, when they bring the other...
This fucker. So this dude, I was like, I know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what it was, but I was like, I know this dude's face. It is the blowhard, mobbed up guy who keeps getting his car fucked up.
I love one here when he comes and he's like, I'm looking for Russell Kirkendall, thinking that it's like, that's
it's
a person.
One person.
Yeah.
And then when they go, hi, I'm Detective Russell and Detective Kirkendall, he's like, well, that's Vince fucking up everybody's names.
Is Vince Cantelli your insurance agent? Yeah.
Anthony Messina. This guy, his name is Johnny Williams. The reason I remembered him, he was the dude in the mask that says, get the loner. He's the guy, ends up with a muffler shoved up his ass when Jim Carrey gets the mask powers.
The loner.
Get the loner.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
He was also one of your faves from what I remember. he was Johnny Roast Beef in Goodfellas.
I mean, I like Goodfellas.
Oh, I thought you were a big, huge fan of Goodfellas.
No, I do. I just don't know it like that.
But apparently he's Johnny Roast Beef, whoever the fuck that
is. It's not like the Big Lebowski.
True. But yeah, this guy...
calmer than you are.
What's weird about this dude is he's like, no, the guy fucking up my car is just a ploy to get me to break my...
Yeah, my parole.
My parole. It's not because he's pissed off about the laundry. It's just so that they can catch me breaking my parole.
The transformer in the back of his building is something that the IRS put there, the CIA.
Well, he keeps saying IRS or CIA Polacks are going to do this. This episode could really be called the racial slurs episode because we get the N-word up top. We get
three times out the gate. We haven't even, we didn't even get the, that's the cold opening. We get three N-words in the cold opening. And then we get the, you don't call them blacks, you do this racist mannerism. This kid's somebody, right?
Yeah. Sorensen and Sipowicz are talking to, I don't know if I have the character's name. Oh, shit.
Jerome.
Jerome. He's played by Sam Jones, who apparently was in every season of Smallville.
Yes, that's I've never his seen name. Him. Yeah.
I do know that it stars a recently convicted sex trafficker, Allison Mack.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the crazy thing about this is the kid is 16, and he's like, I have two families with two children. And
I know the address because I'm a man and I pay the rent.
And Sipowicz is like, yeah, you're father of the year. Also, there was a weird moment where Sipowicz tries to bring up Wile E. Coyote and fails, and then Sorensen gives him a little helpscape by saying it's Wile E. Coyote.
That was weird. That was very weird.
That was a weird move.
Yeah, and the thing I was saying about the other kid, they don't really give a fuck about the other kid because he points it out.
That kid's in prison.
The Jerome kid points out, it's like, yeah, he ratted on me, but he's still locked up. And then they're like, okay, we'll make sure that we don't lock you up if you help us out. Like, we won't lock you up, blah, blah, blah.
It's also funny how, because this whole thing, because they've had a couple episodes where it's like, oh, is it a right shoot? Like, is the cop right in shooting the guy? This one, like, from the very beginning was like, oh, no. The dude had a gun. We just can't find it.
And a lot of different people are talking about that they saw him try to pull it.
And people, people are talking all the time about how he faced down the police.
But that's not what this episode is supposed to be talking about. It's not about whether or not it's not the Szymanski thing all over again. It's not about that. What it's about is if Baker's fit to be a cop at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question. It's not whether or not it was a good shoot. We've already had that question with him. Now we're at it again where it's like me and Maria are just watching we got to the point in season three where Prez Bieluski shoots the cop. And then he's just like, I'm done, you know, and it's kind of like that. It's like, I think he just realized he's not for the cop part of it. Like, he's probably the best at like being an investigator. But when it comes to like the cop part, like that, and that's the kind of same thing with this Baker kid, I think. And that's what
maybe he's
show.
Just not. He's just
that
not
fucking so. Season is so good of The Wire. It is so goddamn good. Like, rewatching it with Cuddy and his whole journey of like going back and then coming, like all of it and shit. It's so good.
I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Shannon picked up JB transacting for drugs just in the open, and then JB just keeps saying Sorensen's name. Like, you gotta talk to Danny Sorensen. I'm out here for Danny Sorensen. But that's also where Mike drops, how's your sister doing? He's like, yeah, she's good. Fuck off.
Yeah. See, so that means he hasn't given Mike has the number, and they haven't been able to talk. So, like, he even told his sister, like, oh, if Mike calls you, but then he's still not, like, hooking Mike up.
Hook Mike up, Danny. Shit. But basically, JB brought in the guy
they needed to talk to.
And JB is pretending to be, like, screwed up.
Where did those go?
I put them in there.
As long as you grabbed them.
I got them. This guy, because I know I've seen this guy a billion fucking times.
Yeah, he's character actor up the wazoo.
Dave Florek. The only one of his credits where I was like, maybe that's what it is. He was a uniformed police officer in Ghostbusters 2. And he has some speaking roles with the Ghostbusters, speaking lines with the Ghostbusters.
No, I feel like there's something else I've seen him in.
But, like, when you look at his credits, the dude's been in a lot of shit. He's also done a ton of voice work. So it's, like, double what you'd expect. But
he calls his wife a guinea mobster wife.
Because they sleep till 11 and do their wash in the afternoon.
Lazy sons of
lazy
bitches.
Lazy pieces of shit. Well, like, why? I mean, I don't live like this, so I don't know. Like, is there really that much issue with the drip, drip, dripping of the laundry? Like, couldn't you just move the lines?
No, because you normally, where you hang it on your fire escape. Or you hang it out your window, mm-hmm. and or out your window on the fire escape. You put the lines out, you hang it out there, you let it drip. Mm-hmm. So most other people do it on the one below it, too. So...
But couldn't, like...
And it's all in a row.
But yeah, isn't there a way to just move it a little bit to one side so that it's not doing it that? Like, push it out farther or something? Like, I feel like this entire situation could have been easily handled by people who can talk.
Yeah, but
like
you're also just assuming that the drips are just going to drip down. There's not going to be any wind that when they fall down, it's going to blow. Like, there's a lot of factors. It's just New York is stupid and doesn't have enough, like, affordable ways to, like, wash your clothes.
New York is stupid.
Yeah.
New York, the place.
It's small, and you can't have a washer and dryer in your apartment. You have to choose washer and dryer or refrigerator.
That's a hard... That's
in
a
some
hard...
apartments.
This is where I'm pretty sure Danny mentions to Sipowicz, you should just call... You should call Dornan. Maybe the dream is telling you to call him. Which I don't think is what it was doing. I think the show being written to lead to something was like, we need to get Sipowicz to talk to Dornan for Dornan's journey matching with Sipowicz. But I don't think that's what the fucking dream is at all.
No.
I think Sipowicz realized it when he goes to talk to Dornan. But him talking to Dornan was just another, like a different thing altogether. Because what I think the dream is, it's, he had an interaction with a black character that was a very positive experience, and the black character suffered because of him. So now, or not suffered, he bad things happened because of him. Uh-huh. So now he has to reconcile that, especially because the character didn't really do anything wrong and he got hurt by it. So he then starts to have this dream where he's realizing, oh, this other thing that I perceived about black people has been wrong this whole time. And they're merging together in this one story that he can dream about and remember. That's what the dream is your dad was wrong. You were wrong in that memory, and you were wrong right now within the last couple episodes and weeks. That's all the dream is him saying you're wrong. This part's fucked up because Martins is telling Danny, oh, you can tell Baker he's all good. But he's like, this is the one I lose sleep over, when a cop is okay when he probably shouldn't be on the street at all.
Yeah, then don't put him on the street.
But like, that's the point. Like, he can't just go, we're taking you off the street because I don't think you should be, even though you were right in this situation.
But you have the ability to, like, doctor or, like, I don't know.
Doctor? It's a lie.
They do it all the time. They do it all the time for the other way. Why wouldn't they be able to do the to help to make sure that, like, someone else doesn't get shot and killed?
That's a good point. But it is very
They're much... more worried about the fact that there was no gun and not the fact that he shot and killed someone in broad daylight.
Well, because the dude's a drug dealer. It's all about who he shot. When it was the Szymanski guy, it was a whole different fucking set of circumstances. But once it was, oh, it's a drug dealer, known drug dealer, we just can't find his gun and or drugs.
Yeah.
then it's like, okay, we'll find the drugs, we'll find the gun, but in the meantime, are you okay, Baker? Like that's how it's being.
Yeah. And Danny basically tells him, like, you're kind of a shitty cop. And he's like, you never felt like you were afraid. You never felt fear.
Yeah, it also tries to, at the end, be like, oh, I have a son. He needs constant care. It's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
Like, no offense.
So many people in different jobs have, like, somebody they have to take care of. Like, that, like, if you're bad at your job, you're still bad at your job. Like,
and then, yeah, Sorensen even says, like, you can't bring that type of worry onto the street. But it almost, like, want to tell him, like, okay, if you're searching for an excuse why, you shouldn't be here. Because you have a device in your pocket that could murder folks.
Yeah.
So.
It's called a gold shield.
Okay. Doesn't he have a silver one? Because he's a street cop?
Because he's a bitch.
Okay. Well, now we're just insulting him. Max. It's also awkward because, like, it's Sorensen giving this guy advice, but Sorensen looks like he's fucking 20 years old.
Yeah, Sorensen is like brand new too. Like, he just became a detective. Like, and he's giving this guy advice, but then Sorensen also is kind of a shitty cop sometimes himself. Like,
yeah, it's we're finding out that almost all of these guys probably shouldn't be cops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or that the system is just fucked up.
A little bit.
And it's a system that people have figured out how to take advantage of, and that's how they do that.
Exactly, like this part right
that's
here.
That's such a New York thing.
What?
When they say it, when, like, this dude got pulled into jail, was, like, in jail all day, has to spend the night, is not going to get freed until tomorrow, and he's like, oh, yeah, you're, like, something number 343. And then it's such a New York thing for someone to be like, I'm going to play that on my numbers tomorrow. They're going to gamble with that number. Like, the weird shit that people say, like, that happens all the time at work. Someone will be like, oh, I was, it's so weird, Kyle. I was supposed to be here at 2 o'clock. I got here at 2:30. I'm going to play that as my numbers. There's a reason why it was 2:30. Like, weird shit like that.
I wanted to mention, because you talk about people abusing the system. Mm-hmm. He set up with JB where he's like, hey, so you're going to stay here the night. Because he's the other guy who gave him the gun and everything, or the information on the drug dealer, all that shit. He's going to go tomorrow. But then JB's like, oh, yeah, and what am I going to get? And then Sorensen's like, yeah, well, if anything comes up in that meeting, too, you might be on the street, too. But it's basically him setting up the fact, like, JB's going to walk, too, because he brought him in. But it's also telling these two guys who are criminals, like, yeah, you can just work the system to get out whenever we need you to.
Yeah,
it's like
it's true. No, it's very true.
Like, it's pretty.
This is where he basically talks about how JB's shitty. He's always looking for money. He's always looking for a scam.
But he's got a positive attitude. Hey, PMA all day, bro.
He's a go-getter, dude.
PMA all day, positive mental attitude. Go get that methadone.
PMA all day.
Sell it for some of that real shit.
Why go get methadone when you can go get meth? It's such a weird way to leave.
Night?
No, he's like on this whole monologue, and then he's just like, well, you know, JB, he does all this weird shit, but he's got a good positive attitude. Night.
He also asks if Sibwas went home twice. He walks in and goes, Sibwas went home? Goes on the JB monologue.
Sibwas
went home?
Yeah.
And then he leaves.
Night.
Night, ladies.
And then the ladies get a phone call. This address looks familiar.
And it's...
And what happens when they show up in Little Italy?
They think that the Polish man died from the ex-mob guy.
But little do they know.
But you know what? They got to go and examine the body, and when they do... It's actually the body of the ex-mob guy.
I was trying to turn over a new leaf, dude.
Because he has been brained in by the Polish downstairs neighbor.
Who's obviously drunk because he's throwing up in the back of a cop car.
You don't think that it's just his nerves?
No. No, not even close. Look how he acts and the way he talks. I think he, like, got really drunk. Look at him. He's, like, fucked up.
Also, the son of the now dead man is just openly threatening that dude's life in front of cops. Doesn't seem like a great idea.
Do we think he's still involved with the mob?
Possibly. He says the only pacifist in that family is now dead. It's like, okay, bro.
Yeah, dude, he's smacked.
He's drunk, you're saying? I didn't think. That part where she's like, I begged Anthony to buy me a dryer, that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
If he can afford a dryer, just get a goddamn dryer, dude. Oh, that's right. It doesn't end on that. It ends on Sipowicz meeting Dornan and explaining what he's realized about the dream.
Mm-hmm.
That it's his mind reminding him that he was wrong all these years. And Dornan, played by Richard Gant, of Big Lebowski fame.
Deadwood, too.
And Deadwood. And Norbit! But I was like, I always thought he did a pretty decent job. These last episodes of season 6, I thought he was doing a great job.
No, he's a great actor.
Because he's playing drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And
the man who's like spiraling and losing everything, he does a really good job playing that person. And he's not in every episode, so it's not like he gets to like constantly do it. He has to come in and out. It's pretty good.
He also does a great job because in this moment, Sipowicz is clearly half confessional, like a half confessional situation to Dornan, apologizing for some of his racial prejudice that he's harbored for years that he's never even understood. And then Richard Gant or Dornan is just like, well, pin a rose on your fucking dream. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your dumbass.
I think it's a great response because it's like,
what do you want me to do about it?
It's like, but his thing is like, yeah, like, it's not my fucking problem. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have a microphone. And you wonder why I don't want you to hold it. Okay. Anyway, continue.
No, that's also like, if I'm Dornan as a black man, it's like, so I should give a fuck when every white guy realizes that them being racist was fucking stupid. Like, he's like, I don't have time for that shit. I have my own problems. Like fuck you, dude. Like you should have realized this shit a long time ago.
It's also a really dark moment for Dornan because Sipowicz is coming to him like with this crazy confessional thing, and then Dornan's like, we'll pin a rose on you and pin a rose on your dream, and then he's like hard drinking.
No.
And Sipowicz is like, are you an oiler, Dornan? And he's like, I stopped for 11 years, but you can get right back on.
It's like riding a bike.
And now Sipowicz is like, oh shit, did I cause him to be in the worst position ever? Because I used to be in this position. Pin one on yourself too, you Polack piece of crap.
You piece of Polack crap.
Oh, okay. Well, he also said, I didn't pay for the last three. How much money is it a shot?
Some places you go, it depends on what you get. I remember there was a place in New York City when I went to visit with Maria where we found a place you could get $2 shots.
So, I mean, the lowest that could possibly be is $6.
Yeah. The most, by the look of the bar, the most it probably is for all of that is like 10 to 12.
Okay.
But 99, that's a lot. You know what I mean?
And Sipowicz has himself a straight up anxiety attack. You can fucking tell. Like, short breathing. Kind of darting around.
But all of his, I think right there, it's all of his, like, racism is, like, coming to the surface, and I think it's, like, right there, because of how he reacted, not the way he wanted, I think he's now, like, his racism is, like, right there to push him to try to, like, be like, see, you were right, like, they don't give a shit, all this, all that. But then he's like, I got to get out of here. I got to, like, and he gets out of the situation. He's still a racist dude. Do you get what I'm saying?
No.
No, I think he has that panic attack, and then he starts having those feelings and those, and he sees that thing over and over of his dad, and his dad keeps saying those things about black people. I think he subconsciously is like, I came to Dornan, who was a black man, laid my grievance out to him, and he basically told me I could go suck it. And so I think subconsciously he has this thing of like, see, like, black people are like this. They don't, and he has this like moment of like panic attack and freak out, and then he has to get away from the situation.
I thought, from what I remember, I thought it was Sipowicz realizes, like, oh my gosh, what I did do to Dornan, or what happened from Dornan, is putting him in the worst position I ever got to. It's pushing him to be like my father, who ended up losing his job, who was ended up losing everything and blaming it on other people. Oh man, I put Dornan in the worst possible place. I can't handle this right now. I'm going to start drinking.
Oh, I didn't see it that way. But
that's how I saw it. I thought he was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. My, like, now the PTSD of his dad, and now Dornan is now messed up, and it's partially his fault, and he's like, I can't deal with this right now. I need to get the hell out of here before I start drinking. And that's what I thought happened. But different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
But that was I Have a Dream, which could have been, like I said, racial slurs, the episode of NYPD.
100%.
So many racial slurs. Anything else about it before we wrap it up?
No, this is it's a good-ish episode. It's got good acting in it.
Mm-hmm.
It sets up a larger storyline that they've been following through the year, which is interesting. Sipowicz dealing with this Dornan thing.
And Dornan up and
on
down.
On a slope, on a downward spiral.
And JB, bringing JB
back
into the
JB back
fold.
And forth. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a good episode.
And bringing back Vince. An old character from early seasons, Vince.
Yeah, Vince is always good.
And I mean, it was a whole lot of stuff because we also had the bringing back a Baker and Martens shows up. It's a big episode. Uh-huh. A lot of shit's happening. All right. Well, thank you for listening. I'll do the outro about right now.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. Please rate and review it wherever you can. Rate and review podcasts so that we get seen in the algorithm, and more importantly, people might start watching NYPD Blue. It's currently on Hulu, but remember, they have the syndication edits, so you might have to look elsewhere for the full edits that were on television. We're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. You can contact us there to talk about the show. We'll talk about the show with you. We love talking about the show. Also, there's a couple of books about NYPD Blue out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There's What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show. And then there's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, which last I heard, I believe it's coming to audiobook, if I remember correctly. So good on you, Gene. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this. We have one more episode that's commentary-based. I honestly don't know if the episode after that's going to be like it, but we will be back to using phones. Hope you still dig it. Have a good one. Be safe. Peace.